Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We have made it. It has been a week, and I am ready to get back home to New York City, though it has been lovely here in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, which rolls on here presently at Lucas Oil Stadium. We have a bunch of defensive backs running, jumping, doing their athletic testing. But more importantly, we have a report from one Rob Domofsky with ESPN talking about how, according to agents he has spoken with here in Indianapolis, the Packers are set to be players in free agency. Obviously, agents here throughout the week end up meeting with a bunch of teams to talk about not only players that are on their squads, but to talk about players who are set to hit the market. And according to Rob, in an interview he had on Wilde and Tausch earlier this morning, it sounds like the Packers will be in the market for corner, defensive line help, and wide receiver help. And I don't think any of that should become a surprise to any Packers fan who has been sentient for the past couple weeks. Feels like those are all positions and topics we have talked ad nauseum about. But it does kind of train your eyes towards the free agent lists, as it were. And I know there's been a lot of talk about potential trades, maybe taking swings at guys like Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. Those maybe are still in the ether, but I would be very surprised, as I've said, if those ended up materializing. But I do think something like signing a defensive end slash edge rusher like Chase Young, that's a possibility. I know Rob mentioned specifically DJ Reed as someone the Packers could potentially have interest in and probably will have interest in. But this notion that the Packers are just going to sit back and continue to draft and develop and eschew free agency, I think, is out the door, so to speak. And that is something we've talked about here quite a bit. The fact that they do have a bunch of maneuverability when it comes to the salary cap. It's not like they're cap rich, but they can do pretty much anything they want as far as signing potential free agents. And now you don't want to be, probably won't be involved in the funny money episodes, especially early on in the legal tampering period. But it does sound like the Packers will be in the conversations, as Brian likes to say. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Thanks for jumping on early with me here today. Things are very much clearing out here at Radio Row, winding down. I want to get a jump on getting the hell out of here. And always fun to talk to you guys no matter what time of day it is. Appreciate everyone jumping in here. Like Guitar Ted, how are you, man? And Bo and Dale. Dale, good afternoon. I hope you're well. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat, man. I'd like to combine my hand with a cold carry the G. Now you're talking. That is some good stuff right there. Michael says, I know Mac is older than Goody would like, but he makes an awful lot of sense at edge and also seems gettable. Very much agree, Michael. I did a video with Matt Bowen last week about this. Highly recommend you check it out here on the channel. I think he makes a world of sense. And I know the sack numbers were down last year for Mac, but if you throw on the tape, you still see a very effective three-down player. Now, I do think if he ended up in Green Bay, he probably wouldn't have to play all three downs. I do think they'd be judicious with how they utilized him, but he would be an excellent pairing with Rashawn Gary. Of that, there is zero doubt. And hopefully serves as a mentor for Lucas Van Ness and helps bring that young man along in his career. Ian, thanks to the super chat, man. Aaron, would you do the DK trade if you were a GM? One and Dobbs, do you think there's actually teeth to the rumor itself? Thanks for everything you do, my friend. Thanks, Ian. Highly recommend you check out my conversation with Justice from earlier today here on the channel. Man, no, I 1,000,000,000% wouldn't do that trade, and I don't think Brian would do that trade. And I know Matt Schneidman put out into the Twitter sphere that that report from the Seattle reporter is erroneous and that there have been no conversations between the Packers and the Seahawks regarding DK Metcalf. Now, I know Corbin has stood by his reporting, which I would expect. Maybe possibly there's a truth in the middle here. Maybe there was informal conversation at some point here in Indianapolis between some kind of entities between Green Bay and Seattle. But the nature of the report and what you're talking about here, a first round pick, which would be the 23rd overall pick and a player for DK Metcalf, that is impossibly rich in my mind. And I understand DK would instantly come in and make the offense better. Certainly serves as the bridge to whenever Watson's able to get healthy, and gives them a very specific skill set, which they certainly don't have on the roster at the moment. But yeah, for a soon to be 28-year-old who you're going to have to pay if you make that trade, he's going to enter in the last year of his deal, to give up 5 years of control at 23 there and one of your young players, I would be absolutely shocked if Brian went that route, and I don't think he should. Now, if these talks actually materialize and say there's a potential, you know, maybe they do want someone like Romeo Doubs, and the Packers could offer a third round pick, and that is probably too much for the Packers, but that I could see being a potential conversation starter. But it doesn't feel like this has much as far as legs go. Do you know what the Friday news dump the mayor is teasing us about? If you're talking about Kyle Cousineau, the real mayor, yeah, I probably have an idea, and I think it'll probably be out here in the next 20 minutes. MVS. John, I've said before, and I know there are a lot of fans who hate the idea, but I think a reunion with MVS makes a world of sense. Guy who absolutely cooked last year with no quarterback play down in New Orleans. Still a beast in the run game, which is where you have to contribute in Matt LaFleur's offense, especially in that spot on the perimeter. You got to be able to hold your own in the run game. You got to be able to take on those corners, safeties, even come down and take care of defensive ends at times. We've seen that in Matt's offense to spring some of the bigger runs. MVS is that guy. He will do that. Now, I know people remember the drops, but they also don't seemingly remember the big plays, like in the NFC Championship game against Tampa, where he was legit the one skill position player who came to play that day. I'm not saying that that's their first choice, but I think it makes a world of sense. Absolutely. Could we add a 15 to that hoodie? Well, you see, yeah, we should, but the problem is here, see, it's the insufferable era that we made this when the Eras Tour was all the rage and Taylor Swift was going around the world. And the idea that this is the era the Packers are in, we get to be insufferable, especially when Jordan Love like really attains his promise, because this is the era that we're in, going from Favre to Rodgers to Love. I understand wanting Bart Starr on here, but there were a boatload of quarterbacks between Bart Starr and this current quarterback run. So that's the idea behind this sweater and shirt, which you can no longer purchase in the Cheesehead TV merch store because the Packers took issue with it, but they can't stop me from wearing it. Kerry Bishop, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Nags, I heard a rumor that Love was already working on his footwork. Hopefully he hits the early workouts in good form to start the year. Any scuttlebutt you have heard on Love? MVS, I agree. Thanks, man. No scuttlebutt per se, great word. But this would be the time. You know, usually after a season ends, guys will take a couple weeks away, maybe a month at most, but oftentimes guys, you know, they're about 10, 12 days and then they're back in the gym. They're starting their kind of workout routine for the off season. And yeah, I do not doubt for a moment that Love has picked up and, you know, tried to hit the ground running for his off season work prior to the start of the off season program in Green Bay, which will be in April. I think that's exactly what you'd expect. And that's what exactly what he should be doing. I am hopeful and fascinated to see how much better he looks coming out of the gate this season with a hopefully full training camp, no injuries, and is able to kind of hit the ground running, so to speak. Brett says, and this is random, or maybe it was brought up in the chat, but anyone saying Monk isn't good or a bust is just guessing. Yeah, that's very, very true. I think people tend to look at the fact that he was inactive for so many games last year. And indeed, even when he was active, say in like in the playoff game, Myers goes down and he's not inserted at center. People start to rumble about busts, right? I'm with you. That is just guesswork. I think he played extremely well down the stretch in preseason and the late parts of camp. I thought he played much, much better after, admittedly, a slow start to his summer. But we've seen this plenty of times before where guys aren't getting on the field earlier in their tenure. I understand this is a draft pick, but Yosh Nijman took 2 years before he was on the field on a regular basis. So I'm not saying it's going to take that long. He could be right there in the mix to start training camp this next summer. But yeah, it is way too early to be talking about Monk in those terms at all. What else we got? Dustin, what's going on, man? Only a dream, but I'd love to land Cam Scadabo. I mean, that playoff performance was amazing, and he is a fun player. I would love to see him utilized in that kind of move tight end role. I think that would be a lot of fun in Matt's offense. Certainly a player who can bring a lot to the table in a lot of different areas. I don't know if the Packers, if he'll, you know, meet the athletic testing standards that the Packers usually kind of look to. Feels like a long shot, but I'm with you. I think he's a hell of a football player, and I'd love to see him in green and gold. What else we got? Ben Fennell. Thanks, Seattle. Ben Fennell said that Jamari Caldwell looked like BJ Raji at the Senior Bowl. What round will the Packers take Raji 2.0? I mean, that's the type of player that I would suspect they'll be looking at. Certainly with both Kenny Clark probably entering his final year, and who knows what's going to happen with TJ Slayton, feels like that's a guy who would be on the radar, so to speak, right? As far as rounds, you know, I mean, I have no idea, but that's certainly a player that I could see the Packers having interest in landing if the board falls the right way. Brett says, Packers need a 4-4 running back to go with Lloyd and Jacobs, a guy that can take it the distance anytime he touches it. Brett, feels like this is something that gets brought up literally every offseason. And every offseason, it never materializes, or every season, it never materializes. It just usually those types of guys are smaller backs. They don't like smaller backs. I'm not saying they're all like that, but that's tradition, right? I remember, we can go back to when I was talking with Greg Bedard on Packer Transplants back in the day. That's how long we've been talking about this kind of thing. Like somebody who's that lightning element to their offense. It's just not something they have put a priority on ever. I mean, whether you're talking Ted, you're talking Brian, it is just not their way of working. And I don't, you know, don't disagree with you. I've said it many times over the years that I'd love to see that kind of player in green and gold. Just doesn't seem to be in their MO. Michael, thanks for the super chat. If we draft defensive tackle in round one, is that Kenny's replacement? Not necessarily. There's a chance, certainly. And I do think the fact that Kenny is most likely done after this year in Green Bay, at least due to his contract, they will absolutely be looking to supplement the defensive line depth and or kind of room in this draft class, especially because it is so deep. This is an incredibly deep defensive tackle class. So if it gets wherever somebody is drafted, doesn't necessarily mean they're the replacement or the heir apparent, so to speak, in to utilize the same way that Kenny was. But it is certainly a position they'll be looking at. Of that, there is zero question. There we go, Tommy. I like it. What else we got here, folks? Oh, interesting comparison, Gino. Goody won't sink the boat for one life jacket. That is an interesting phrase, way of looking at it. If you're, you know, obviously talking about Metcalf and shooting a first round pick and a player to go get him. Yes, that is a correct way to look at it. No doubt about it. Oh, Brett, thanks again, man. Christian Watson needs to be an 8 to 10 target a game guy every week when healthy. Could not agree more, man. I do think they have struggled to kind of find that balance, right? You know, you remember the start of the year where he was barely targeted. Now, obviously, some of that was due to Love's injury, and they had to scrap a lot of their plans for the, you know, weeks 2 and 3 games. But, you know, heading into that Vikings game, he had barely been kind of targeted, and then he got hurt, you know, and missed some time, and then was back. And it just felt like he was never a main component of the game plan. And I'm with you. They got to make sure that they're attempting at least to get the ball in his hands, you know, if not 12, 15 times a game, like at least 8 to 10 times a game. There, I'm in total agreement. See, now here comes the fun part. Preston says, Reed needs those targets. I don't necessarily think that's true. I think Reed's a guy who can give you a lot, obviously, dependent on the opponent. Watson's just a touchdown waiting to happen, though, when he's got the ball in his hands. You know, Reed is obviously a really good yards after the catch guy. He powers through tackles at times, certainly knows how to work in zone and give you stuff underneath that hopefully Watson or whoever ends up being out there can kind of help create some of that space. I do think Reed's a bit more game to game in that regard, though. I don't think you need to force him the ball the way I think they should with Watson, just because when Watson's right, man, he's just, you give it the ball in his hand on any one of those plays, he could go the distance. It's not necessarily the case with Jaden Reed. Big Al, what's up, man? Hey, Nags, do you think the Packers will revamp cornerback or D-line like in free agency and draft more like safety last year and the year before with wide receiver? Yeah, it's a good question, Al. I do think you're going to see a double-pronged attack, as it were, you know, much like you mentioned here with the safety group last year. You know, they obviously signed Xavier McKinney in free agency and then went a hog wild, essentially, with three safeties in the draft, though Bullard did end up playing a lot of nickel. I do think we're going to see something akin to that. Now, will it be both? Will it be strictly one or the other? I think a lot of that will just depend on A, what the market is, and B, how the board falls to them in the draft. But certainly it's something that I think, yeah, they're going to be utilizing every avenue. Because, look, there's no doubt when Brian talks about the need for urgency, that some of that urgency is creating competition and raising the talent floor in those rooms with those positions. So I think you don't shut yourself off to any possible, you know, ways to acquire those players. Ooh, Patrick, that's bold, man. I predict Watson's practicing by week four. That's a bold call, sir. I mean, I know the word we got from Gutekunst earlier this week was very positive on Watson. Everything is seemingly going well post-surgery. Rehab is going well. Week four feels a bit aggressive, a bit early, but I'd love it. Obviously, I'm mad at it. I'd love that development to take place, but we'll see. Let's say that. You never really know. JP, is it tough to keep track of all of Banky's beefs? No, not really. I just assume he's beefing with everybody, and then when someone or he says, "Like, I like that person," I'll be, "Oh, you like that person? That's good." And then I strike them off the beef list, you know. Man, I'm just trying to go about my business, talk Packers, drink beer, and just chill. And Banky can beef with whoever he needs to. Let me see. Is Mark Murphy's final parting gift going to be a week one home game at Lambeau? Not necessarily, because, I mean, I know they've never had one under LaFleur. And I know Packers fans are sick of it, but I don't know if the NFL's sick of it. You know, they love putting the Packers on the road, and especially in marquee matchups. Does drive numbers and does drive ticket sales elsewhere. Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, Murphy is still technically the president and CEO until June, and the schedule will be out most likely early May. So it would be still under his purview. But, you know, as much as the Packers can request things, the NFL is the final arbiter, obviously, and they'll do whatever the hell they want. But let's hope so. Let's hope so, because I am sick and tired of LaFleur having to go on the road each and every year, the first week of the season. This is great. Someone got to add Pee Wee Herman soundbite on Alex Strofe cone drills. Man, that is some compelling content they had over there at ESPN Milwaukee. That was a video for the ages. And if you guys haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend you seek it out, because it's hilarious. It is ridiculously fun. Al, you're not wrong, man. And I just talked about this on the radio. Even though Rashawn Gary had an okay season, he needs to step up as an elite pass rusher. And that's the last part's the key, right? You don't pay these guys to defend the run well, although you're supposed to, right? You're supposed to be a complete player. That certainly doesn't grab headlines, and it certainly doesn't get guys paid. And I do think Rashawn had a really good, strong overall season. The problem is the sack numbers just weren't there. And once you get paid, those are expected, you know, and everything else is going to be secondary. No one's really going to give it much credence unless those sack numbers go up. Now, maybe getting someone like a Khalil Mack or whoever across from him helps in that regard, because he was in the top 10 of the most chipped edges last year, a lot of attention being paid to Rashawn. I don't doubt for a moment that he'll continue to work as hard as he can, but I do think getting some help along that defensive front will possibly open up some, you know, opportunities for him in the when it comes to the pass rush and getting guys on the ground. John, I'd rather have the last game at home than a home opener. Why not both? They can do it. And like I said, come on now. LaFleur's been there since 2019, and they ain't never opened at home under LaFleur. Come on, that's just ridiculous. Brett, good question, man. Does Quay Walker get a two-year extension at a significantly lower number than the fifth-year option? Yes. Now, I don't know if it'll officially be a two-year extension, but most likely it'll be like a three or maybe even a four-year extension that is in actuality a two-year deal, right? When you look at the actual numbers. But yes, it will certainly, as when it comes to year by year, be way below what the fifth year option would be, which would, if they exercise the fifth year option on Quay's contract, he would be like in the top five when it comes to linebacker pay. And that is not going to happen. So yeah, there's no doubt that that will be a goal of theirs this offseason, I would suspect, to get him extended prior to the season. And I think Brian's made it very clear that he wants him around and wants him to be part of the core of this defense. And I suspect that's what will occur. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Michael, getting it in right at the last second. What's up, man? If your choice, bring back McDuffie or Wilson? Probably McDuffie. I know Wilson played a lot when guys went down. I think McDuffie played well for a good long stretch, knows the defense really well, obviously has the history with the coordinator, and is just a bit younger. You know, you don't have to do a whole lot of heavy lifting, obviously, if you retain him as far as kind of coaching up a guy to be the backup, which is what he would be. I do think they'll be continuing to look in free agency even at that spot. Who knows what Hopper ends up bringing to the table, but I do think there's a decent chance they bring back McDuffie. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. I'll be back on Monday, back in New York. Cannot wait. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Have a great time wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.